You absolutely murdered it tonight.
Hey, man.
Big laughs.
I'll come back next time.
Terrific.
I'll do new stuff. They love me.
What is going on here? This doesn't sound like an AA meeting.
It sounds like a
concert.
I'm doing a service, but I want people to laugh and enjoy.
Do you let anybody else talk?
Well, there was a sad old lady who opened for me, but she only did 10 minutes.
The only problem is you're doing your act, but nobody's drinking. Imagine if they were drinking.
If they were drinking, yeah, would be blown off. You know, forget about it.
Yes.
But I don't know how we can...
Excuse me, I'm sorry. That was just incredible. I had to thank you.
A lot of laughs?
A lot of laughs. Oh, the bartender from Hell Part, I was
Did that work?
Yeah, it totally worked. Have a good night.
Thanks for coming
you.
Over. I'm here like twice a week.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay.
The bartender from Hell.
Yeah, I mean, I do the from Hell on occasion, but I'm workshopping a few other things. I'll tell you, another couple of meetings like this, I have a special.
You know what? This is a fantastic idea. For the AA special.
You're listening to League Podcast, Curbcast, Season 12, Episode 5, Fish Duck. I'm Matt Durson.
Mickey Mouse.
Just kidding. Clay Inferno here. Wasn't a very good Mickey Mouse either, but
I mean, it's kind of hard to do. He's pretty
high up there.
Yeah. All right, we got to start off right off the bat.
Willie,
I'm trying to be sad. I'm trying to be serious. We have to be somber, just like the episode did. I want to start off with a. You know, in memory of Richard Lewis, we had talked about, you said on a recent episode that you don't know how much he's going to be on the season because of his health. And last week he passed away.
And Richard Lewis, comedy legend.
Yeah.
Somebody I remember way before Curb as knowing and respecting as a comic and kind of like a, you know, our exposure to like stand up and comedy was really so different. We were growing up in the 80s and 90s, but you would see somebody like that guy or Belzer and be like, that's a cool, like leather jacket, like cool fucking guy. Like, who is that guy? And you'd remember it. You'd remember watching him. You know what I mean? I definitely remember seeing him on like Evening at the Improv or something like that when I was like, you know, a kid, basically, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the hair and the jacket. And, you know, I remember that sitcom he was on, right? Anything But Love, I think, was it called?
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, yeah, he was that guy.
We were talking about punk earlier, and he's like, to me, he's like a, maybe it's just like that he dresses in all black or whatever, but like I felt like he was like a punk rocker at heart. You know, like he's just like he's like the punk rock kind of comedian. Like he's
he was very 80s to me, and not in a bad, like in a good way, in like a cool way. Like he kind of mullet kind of thing, you know, like you know, but like yeah, like all black and just like kind of spastic. I mean, I know he was probably on a lot of coke back then because that's what he, you know. I think some of this AA stuff is based on reality. Yeah. I know he's been sober for a long time, but I think back in the 80s, he was pretty crazy. As they all were, a lot of comedians were. You know what's funny is how many, because at the time, before, this was all before Curb, you know. Yeah, when I started seeing him on Curb, I was like, oh, how about that? Because I hadn't seen him in a long time.
I was just literally going to say the exact same thing. Like, when I first started watching Curb, I was like, oh, cool. Like, this guy's in it. And we have, like, a relationship with Richard Lewis like we do with LD now, you know? Like, that's grown over the just loving him on Curb, which is a whole, you know, his latest, the latter part, his final part of his long career. But yeah, that's where I grew to really like be like loving, like remembering him when he showed up on Curb. Oh, this guy, I love this guy. You know what I mean? And then all of, I think he's like even in the first like episode or the pilot. So
he's on that one, the Pants Tent, which is season one, episode one.
Yeah.
He was prominent for the entire run of the show. I mean, one of my favorite seasons was the one where he needed the kidney transplant, right? And Larry was doing everything he could to not give it to him, which, you know, I mean, hey, if you don't have to give up your kidney, but he even pretended to be Orthodox so that he could get the guy like to move Lewis up on the list. Do you remember that one? And he went skiing with the guy and his daughter. Oh man, that was gold. I love that whole episode. So, and yeah, I only found out last week reading about it that they were born like 3 days apart in the same hospital, Larry David and Richard Lewis. You know, they're from the same place, literally.
Yep.
They've been friends forever.
What was the quote that Larry David said? It's really touching and nice.
He said, today he made me sob and I will never forgive him or something like that. Yeah. Like that was what he said on the day he passed away. It was, can you imagine? I mean, you've known this guy probably, 50 years or something? Like, or who knows?
There's some, you know, I didn't do like a huge like deep dive into it, but I, you know, you click on some things on YouTube and stuff gets recommended to you, and they met each other really young, and then when they saw each other at like doing stand up, that's when they really like became close.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's, you know, you knew everybody. That's how those stand ups. You know what I mean? They knew every. They all knew each other. They all worked together and everything, and yeah, like it's sad, you know, obviously, but he had a great career and he was a funny man, and I wonder how much he's gonna be on this season. Obviously they already filmed it.
It's already filmed, and I imagine he'll be in nearly all the episodes. Sometimes like we had Cheryl in this episode, but she's not in every episode. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it'll be like that. You know, they're series regulars, but they don't, you know, they do some weird focus on just Larry and Leon doing something then, or Larry and Jeff, then you might not get to see them. But luckily, we've gotten them in a lot of episodes already this season.
Yeah, and he is in this one. And when we get to that scene, I'm going to bring up some stuff, but we'll wait till we get there. We'll get there, as you like to say in the
league. We'll get there.
Godspeed, Richard Lewis. Thanks for all the laughs. And
Godspeed. Godspeed. And that's my official astronaut or celebrity, my favorite go-to in memorial for anyone, actually. I always say Godspeed. I really like that.
I didn't know
could
that.
Could be for all mankind. The astronaut show I'm watching, but I've been obsessed with being an astronaut like my whole life too. But it's a nice thing to say. I went to vote today, right? And then saying thank you for your service to the other election worker, and I was like, she's like, it's funny how it happened too, because I put my ballot in. She's like, oh, you really know how to do that.
Well, you have volunteered.
I said, yeah, I said, I'm an election worker too. And she's like, well, it kind of, I felt like I was having a little curb moment there with the lady too. Since, well, why aren't you here now? We really need people. And I said, March is a really busy time for me. I told the lady at the office already, it's March, I can't do, but I'll be here for the big one. She's like, well, we need you here for the big one. And I was like, I'll be here for the big one. We really need you here for the big one. But she's like, you're an expert at putting that ballot in. Yeah, no problem. I'm not going to jam it. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I've been around for a while.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing, don't you? Oh, wow. Well, there you go. Thank you for your service. See, curb is everywhere.
Yeah, so thank you for your service. That's how it happened.
Yeah. Godspeed, Richard.
And thanks, Richard Lewis, for his service for as many years left.
Maybe that's a good way to put it. Thank you for your service, Richard. All right, we have to we start off here with this latest episode, Fish Stuck. Larry is meeting with his new lawyer, who is Sean Hayes, who looks really young. I mean, he's a little older than us. He was born in 1970, so he's 54,
I guess, right? That sound about right? Yeah,
yep.
Whatever. So...
he looks good. That's all, Jay. I mean, he looks good. I mean, a lot of famous people do, but I feel like he's very funny here, and he's playing a lawyer.
Are you saying he's had work done? Maybe he has. Yes. God bless him.
He's rich. You know,
clean living, you know. Let's just go with that.
And he's a gay, isn't that? Some gays yeah. really take care of themselves.
It's true. You know, they probably, right, you know. Yeah. That's right. Eat right.
But he's a person. You know, I'm not saying gay people don't take care of themselves. Some people are gay bears. They don't take care of themselves as much. They do. But they're loved. That's
the thing. Sure. All right. Let's not talk about this anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
No, are you uncomfortable about talking about how good gays look? They do look.
I'm kidding. All right. Anyway, he's playing a lawyer. His name is Christopher Mantle. So Larry says that Susie recommended him, but he also liked the name Mantle because Larry is a big fan of Mickey Mantle. And so Sean Hayes says, I don't follow baseball, but I know who Mickey Mantle is. He's talking about the case, and he says, this is going to be easy. It's not going to go to trial. I'm going to file this motion. You'll be fine. And Larry says, actually, he's very pleased because he says, I get to walk around saying that, like, I took it to court, you know, but he won't actually be on trial, which is really funny. And Sean A's like, yeah, you can say that. You can still walk around like the hero.
So and we were talking about the Trump stuff, like the parallels, because this is like something that Trump's lawyers are constantly trying doing, like filing motions to dismiss and do stuff like that. So like Larry is like kind of like, you know, putting himself in that, a substitute himself against the law, you know, but from the other side, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
He's basically clever. The Trump like of this situation. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so he says the case will be tossed out because it's the most unconstitutional law. And I love Larry says, Mr. Mantle. He's very happy. And then they talk about this thing, this temple. I forget how it gets brought up, but whatever. There's this new temple being like dedicated or reopened. And Larry says he's being dragged there by this person I'm connected to, who is Irma, but I love it. He won't even say, like, it's his partner.
He's like, I'm connected to somehow.
Somehow. This person I'm connected to somehow. And he says, yeah, my husband is taking me. My husband's Jewish. So he's like, oh, we're both being dragged. It's kind of funny. I feel like at least at this point, they have a nice little rapport here. So he gets a call from someone, and you know, Larry picks up his paperweight, and he's like, please put that down. And he doesn't put it down right away, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he hangs up the phone, and he says, oh, that was my surrogate. My husband and I are, you know, having a baby. And Larry's like, oh, that's great. Did she take an IQ test? it kind of makes sense, right? He's like, you don't want a moron.
Well, yeah, I've been reading a little bit about the stuff that's going on with the laws and stuff right now. I'm not going to get like way into it, but I've been like learning a little bit more about this artificial insemination and IVF and stuff like that. And when a gay couple wants to do this thing, like get a surrogate or whatever, and they have donors to choose from, even if they're like an anonymous donor, like where they have these donors where the donor can request, like, I don't want, you know, when this kid grows up, I don't want to be contacted or anything. I just want to remain anonymous. But you kind of like get to pick from someone's IQ and how tall they are and like little genetic, like kind of like benefits. So you do get to like kind of pick. So,
I mean, I think you should. I mean, just like you would pick someone that you wanted to have a kid with, you know, like if you want to have sex with them and get impregnated, you'd probably be like, oh, I don't want to, that person looks kind of dumb or something, you know.
And in this case, they have a surrogate, and it's like, he could ask, like, did she take an IQ test?
Yeah. And I mean, Sean Hayes is he's like, well, yes, she's very smart. But like, and then he says, so now Larry, he's kind of into it, and he says he wants to know who gets to pick the last name, because obviously he likes Mickey Mantle, and he wants Mantle, you know, he wants the Mantle name to carry on. And he says, well, we chose my husband's last name. And he said, what's that? And he says, Zekelman. And he puts like the real Yiddish kind of spin in it, I feel like. He's like, Zekelman, like, I can't even do it. But you know what I mean? He really is.
Yeah. Yeah,
like it's the Zekkelman, and Larry's like not pleased. And then they, you know, he's like, "Well, we had a conversation, and that's what we decided on." And he's like, "Well, I don't know any Zekkelmans who hit 536 home runs," which I know is a great. And he says, "Yet," which is kind of funny, but I mean, you know, this is all very, you know, I mean. This goes back, and they did this, kind of did this on Seinfeld, where George wanted to name his kid Seven, which was Mickey Mantle's number. And they were like, right. Seven? What kind of name is Seven? This is, I mean, this is also like a social thing, because Larry's like, how do you decide the last name? And the, you know.
Yeah, this is straight up LD, like asking the questions everybody wants to ask, but no one would ever really dare in real life.
Exactly. Anyways, we cut to this. They're having lunch. Larry, Leon, and Funkhauser are at this Chinese place, and they're having lunch. And Leon's doing okay, but he's having a little trouble with the chopsticks. But that's all right. He's getting by. He's better than me, so I can't really question. But they do focus on him.
I want to say something about Freddy Funkhauser that I kind of realized in this episode more than any other. Super Dave Funkhauser.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein. He wasn't part of like the boys' crew, but Freddy is up to like however they pair him off. Freddy and Leon and Jeff are the guys that he gets in trouble with. Like Freddy's along for the ride. Like he's fucking around with other people too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially this episode,
but it was great how his character is like, he's one of the, those guys are idiots fucking everything up all the time, and he's one of them.
Yeah, he's in the inner circle here now, so. I and then this is a great Freddy Funkhauser episode. He's got a new lady, and he's talking about how great she is, the music, she's funny, she's smart, and he says she works for Disney. I'm not sure exactly what her role is, but she knows every movie that's coming out. She knows the costume. She knows the all the stuff. She knows the characters. She knows every movie. And so they're like, oh, does she like sports? And he's like, well, I don't know if she likes sports. And they're like, well, he says, if she does, you're my best man. That's what he says to Larry. It's like, he's really into this girl. They're like, I've never seen you talk about someone like this. It's great. And then, of course, Leon says, since she works at Disney, he says, ask her about that fine-ass Tinkerbell. He's just, I could put her in my pocket.
Pop out her little booty.
Yeah.
Like, I would just put her in my pocket, take her home. She'd come out of her pocket, kiss me on the cheek, give me a little one of those.
Fly away. Yeah, like, he really has got a thing for Tinkerbell. So, anyways, they're sitting next to, you know, a lot of Chinese food restaurants have those big fish tanks. And there's a fish that looks like he's stuck on the like filter, and they're like, look at that poor fish, he looks like he's stuck. And they ask the waiter about it, and he says, no, he's sick. I shouldn't do the voice, but it's pretty funny. He said, this fish is sick, and the filter is warm, so he's doing it like on purpose, he's trying to
make
warm
him feel
himself
better.
And they're he's like, oh, see, he's shaking. He sneezed. And they're like, fish don't sneeze. Like, Larry's pretty upset about this. They think they should do something to save this poor fish. And the guy's like, fish is fine. And he's like, fish stuck. He's like, fish stuck. Or no, he's not. Larry is saying fish stuck. And the waiter is saying, like, fish fine. So, or fish sick. He's not actually fine. He is sick. But it's pretty funny. They go back and forth a little bit. Yeah. You know, it comes up later.
The exchange is a little Arashimashi.
Yeah,
Arashimashi. It's a little, they like go back and forth like a couple times, and like they'll like kind of get into a fight. It happens a couple times in the episode. And then the waiter will just like be done with the fight, walk away, and be like, oh, we're going to bring your table some water. Like smiles and like,
I know. It's like a really nice waiter. He's great. So now we cut to Larry picking up Irma at her AA meeting. I don't have any experience with this, but he said,
I got plenty to say about the AA segment.
All right, great. Cyrus, you know, is leading the meeting, and he says, Good meaning it works if you work it or something like that. I was like, wow,
that's exactly cool. What they say. You nailed it on the head. You got it right. Exactly. That's the quote.
But I love Larry goes over and just takes a donut. And Irma's like, hey, you shouldn't really take these. They're for the members. They count out exactly how many. And Larry's like, there's a month. There's so many of them.
Tons of them. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I mean, I think Larry's right here. I mean, I can't imagine they would be like, oh, we have 12 people coming. We're going to get a dozen donuts.
No, this is Irma being Irma. And, you know, they count exactly how many people are going to be. You don't know how many people are going to show up to the AA meeting, and people leave halfway through. They come in late. Like, it's very much casual. Like, you're supposed to be there on time, but it's not like work. So people show up when they can. You know what I mean?
Right. So. Right. And there's a lot of donuts there. So I don't think anybody cares. And even when Cyrus comes over later, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Larry has a donut.
That would be what happened. Anyone that's in there,
right?
Actually, even anybody that's in there is like, welcome. They would maybe even think that Larry was part of AA if he walked in there, because it's open to everybody, and you can't really ask if someone's there or not. You know,
right?
Those
be like, hey, are you supposed to be here or whatever? So Lewis is there. They show him talking to someone, and Irma says that he was there, and he shared and shared. She says he talked, he went on and on. And like Cyrus is like, well, it was his turn to share. And he shared. She said, I some people like it, but he works so blue. He used the word hell 3 times. Like, that is blue.
Yeah, Larry's like, oh, yeah, that's such a big deal.
I know. The word hell 3 times. So anyway, Cyrus asked Larry, he's like, look, I'm really sorry. I'm glad you're here. I'm really sorry. I don't like to ask. And he said, well, I don't like to do favors or whatever. Like, he's like, don't ask. But he says, my daughter wants to be a writer. I wonder if you know anybody, maybe, she's look at some of her stuff. And Larry's like, okay.
Yeah, this is like the Hollywood thing too, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like, hey, would you read my script?
Right. And I'm sure, I mean, maybe not as much. Probably back in the Seinfeld days, Larry probably got it all the time, but it does. It goes that's what happens all the time, especially like, oh, my daughter, you know, whatever. He says, he'll think about it. And then Cyrus tries to hug him. He's like, no hugging, which I thought was a great.
Yeah, no touching, which is like Arrested Development. No touching.
Well, apparently, and I think I've said this before on a Curbcast, but the mantra when Larry was doing Seinfeld back in the early days was no hugging, no learning. That was the mantra of Seinfeld. If you were writing you know what I mean? Like, there was no, these guys were not, these people didn't even really like each other. Like, and it's true. Like, if you watch, there maybe was like one episode, I think, where like they gave Elaine a hug. You know what I mean? Like it's like, oh, hey, nice to see you. But like, they never showed really any kind of affection for each other. Yeah, so no hugging, no learning. So I don't know if Larry just, that's still his thing. But anyway, so he goes over to talk to Lewis, and Lewis says he killed, which I love.
So this is what I wanted to talk about, because this merges two of my worlds in such a delightful way, and it's Lewis. So I do. We promote comedy shows. And
that's right.
Opener
that's
always right. does, if you have a headline comic, I sometimes, you know, we ask a friend of the pod, Ken Reed. I had him on a show the other night to do.
Right.
And this comedian was very specific. He said, I want him to do, they usually say, give the opener can do 10 or 15 minutes. This comedian we had specifically was like, yeah, he'll do 12 minutes. And 12 minutes came up like 1,000 times when we were talking about it. So he's going to do 12, you know, the agent's emailing, you know, the opener is going to do 12. We got 12, make sure it does 12 minutes. And I was like, Ken, are you good with 12 minutes? He's like, that's the thing with winging it. I can do however many minutes I want.
Yeah, once you're up there, I guess. Yeah. What are you going to do? Give him a hook? Like, I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know,
but, I mean, hey, if the guy says 12, you can do 12. I'm sure. Yeah, he's
and it was fine, and it's not even a complaint, but it was just like so very specific. I'd never heard that before, to like give me a specific number between.
That is funny. 10 or 15, you would think, but 12. Well,
that's usually enough. That's usually enough information. So, yeah. But anyways, it starts with Lewis going, you should have seen it. I killed, which is like,
yeah,
how that's comics comedian talk about themselves.
Yeah. Comedian speak, yeah, for like, I did well, I got a lot of laughs. Oh, yeah. I killed, or that bit killed, or that joke killed.
Big laughs, and then like kind of take the scene and completely write it like he just got off stage at a comedy club. People are coming up to him, and he's like, oh, that was so great, and oh, you enjoyed it. And,
the guy even says, oh, yeah. You murdered.
Yeah, you murdered. You killed. And big laughs, and it was like, come back next week, I'll do new stuff. And that is like, right. I'm here twice a week, like a stuff a comic would say in a club, which was really funny. And then so Larry's like kind of being encouraging, like, oh, you know, like you,
Larry, he's like, you
did this,
you're doing stand up here. And he's like, oh, you get a special out of this, he's gonna get an HBO special. He said,
and then he's like, Lewis. Talking about how, but he also says, I don't know, Larry says something like, did anyone else say anything? He's like, well, some sad old lady opened for me.
Sad. I've never seen a sad old lady. I love that.
But only for 10 minutes.
Yeah, he said she only did 10 minutes. Like, she did 10 minutes. Like, she had.
She did 10 minutes. If you're, and I always watch, like, when, because I've been to AA, I don't really go that much anymore. I don't drink, but there's kind of, like, it is a whole culture. We talk about the donuts and stuff like that, and it's just, it's not like preachy or anything, but there are people that totally will like take up way too much fucking time, and you're like, but if they're being entertaining, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'll sit here and like listen to this. You know what I mean? But I always watch, and it's in a lot of TV shows and movies, because I think a lot of people in Hollywood go to AA, you know what I mean? Like, so they write it into like a lot of stuff, and I always see like how they do it. Like even in Wreck-It Ralph, they have the scene with the bad guys, the anonymous bad guys. Or something. Yep. And like a lot of that stuff in that scene is like actually kind of funny if you've been to any sort of like self-help meeting like that or whatever, this one was probably the best AA scene I've seen in anything ever. It was so funny, just because, and he's like, oh yeah, maybe I'll put together, so Lewis is like looking at this like from a theory, he's like, maybe I'll put together a special and pitch it to HBO.
Well, yeah, and he says he's workshopping some stuff.
Yeah, he works out. It was so good. It's so good. All right.
But here's the big thing. So, yeah, like the woman comes up and says, thank you. So it was great. That bartender from hell, you know, stuff was really funny. And Larry's like, oh, bartender from hell. And he's like, well, I do the from hell stuff, you know, a little, but I'm workshopping some new stuff. So, you know, the Richard Lewis is credited with inventing the like blank from hell.
Oh, no, I don't know this.
It's real. That's like a real thing. Yeah, so he is in the Yale Book of Quotations or something, like whatever, whatever official thing is. But he is credited with
good knowledge drop,
saying brother. Like, yeah, no, this was great. I loved hearing that, because that goes way back, season 3. It was. I have heard, the episode was called Nanny from Hell. And Cheryl said I think she said something from hell. Or whatever it was. And maybe she said Nanny. Maybe it was Nanny from hell. I don't even remember. But Larry, they were married back then, obviously. And Larry's like, where did you get that? Where'd you get that? And she's like, oh, my dad used to say that all the time. He's like, Lewis came up with that. And she's like, no, he didn't. But he did. Like, well, I don't know if he came up with it, but he was the one who made it famous. And that was part of his stand-up, is to be like, oh, the mother-in-law from hell or whatever, you know.
Oh, that's so like funny. That.
So that's a real
yet
thing.
Another little layer to this scene, right. Which I already enjoyed a lot.
It is. It's a great scene, and that is a nice little like tribute, I feel like, knowing now, obviously, what we know at the time, they just thought it would be funny, but
probably yeah. Any episode that came out the week that Richard Lewis would sadly pass away would have been great if Lewis was on it.
Right.
But this was like especially it was hardcore funny. It was hardcore
it
funny
was,
all the way
it
through.
Was, it was hardcore funny. I really got a lot of just like it just made me feel like good that Lewis was being funny, like him, his funny stuff. He's always funny on Curb and whatever, but this was like him as the comedian Richard Lewis, you know?
Yeah, he was
and,
himself, yeah, truly.
It was gold. It was gold. So yeah, classic stuff. And that obviously also comes up later, as one does. All right, so they're at the big temple reopening, and it's a big thing. Larry's there with Irma, and she says she's gotta go get her rice. I forget what it is.
They're offering some hors d'oeuvres, and there's probably like meat or spicy stuff on there. So she goes like, it's like when you go and drink and you want to build the base. She's like,
yeah, that's what
I need to go. I need to go get my rice, build up a rice base. And Larry's just like, whatever.
Build your rice base. So Funkhauser walks in with his girlfriend, Jenna. Very pretty, you know, young girl, whatever. And she's all excited. And, you know, Larry, it's great to meet you. And he says, oh, he's been talking. He's been talking you up. So it's all very pleasant. And then he says, look, I hate asking for favors almost as much as I hate doing them. But my friend's daughter, you know, or whatever, has like a screenplay. And she says, oh, yeah, I'll read it. So she agrees to read it. And then, yeah, he's like, all right, we got to go meet some people. So they just leave.
But Larry's like, oh, where did you come from? You're so wonderful. Point to the planet where she came from. Point right. to it.
I know, oh, tell you how wonderful she is. So then we meet Dan Levy, who is Zekelman. And he comes over. Actually, he's like, is that the guy? Is that the guy? He's there with Sean Hayes. You know, Mantle, Christopher Mantle. And he goes over, he says, hey, did you have a problem with us naming our child, our, you know, with my last name? And he's like, Larry's like, yeah, you know.
And you can see Sean Hayes is like a little uncomfortable too, because he's just kind of knows that something went down with this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan Levy, did you watch Schitt's Creek? Were you a Schitt's Creek
love
fan?
Me I'm a shitter. I love
me I'm too. Love that show.
I'm a heavy shitter.
I was like a late comer, but
yeah, I was a late shitter too.
Yeah,
we didn't get into it till it was like nearly over, or maybe even after it was off the air.
Yeah, me too. I think I got on like halfway through the last season, but
and
yeah,
that's one of those things where people were talking about it, and then you're like, yeah, I don't know what that is. It's got a dumb name. I actually thought. The name of that thing is stupid. I don't want to watch that. But everybody, like, the people with good taste recommending it to you. You're finally
right.
You're like, all right. And then you watch it. You're like, oh, this is great. I am a shitter till the day I die.
It was a perfect, because we were watching it, like, during COVID. And it was, like, a perfect, like, nice, fun, funny distraction. Like, you don't need to think too much. Just relax.
Yeah, I think
and
that's
enjoy
where we watched
funny.
A lot of it, too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So anyways,
that's actually funny because I remember it was over and they were doing a tour that was like coming to Boston in like March of 2020. So they like ended up canceling the tour. It was going to be a big deal. Everyone was excited that they were like going on to like a farewell tour, just, you know, sayonara to the show kind of thing. And then everyone was so bummed when it got canceled. I remember that.
Yeah.
It lines up timeline wise.
Yeah. So I love like they're debating back and forth. Larry's like, well, you know, Larry doesn't like the name. And he's like, well, he said, the great thing about opinions is you can keep them to yourself. And Larry says, you're not keeping this to yourself. Which I think he's 100% correct.
What kind of world would it be if people kept everything to themselves? This is another great LD.
I know. So then Larry starts talking about, because he assumes they picked the last name based on whose semen it was. And Sean Hayes like, well, you know, all right, it's his semen. He's like, well, then, you know, you should get to pick the name. And then so Larry starts throwing out names because he thinks if you're gonna take the name Zekelman, you gotta have a cool first name.
I wrote him down.
Oh, please do it.
Ziggy, Scooter,
Ziggy was, yeah,
Foot, Doc, Ace.
Yeah,
and there's like Scooter Braun. Like some of these are very like just Jewish names. Like Ziggy Zekelman is like would be a real Jewish name, or Scooter would be a real Jewish name. The Foots, I'm not so sure about.
I don't know where Foots, just a weird name in general. But he says like he should, because Larry, he says something like, and I guess it's later actually when he says it, but he says something about he has two first names, so he should decide, like he knows what a good first name is. But the guy just leaves. And yeah, like Sean Hayes is very uncomfortable. You can see he's actually doing a great job acting like I don't really want it. He wants to be on his husband's side, obviously, but he also kind of like, yeah, it doesn't. So, but I love Larry. He's giving him all these names. He says, I'm giving you gold here. Anyway, so they leave. Larry walks over to this wall, like a wall with bricks that you see a lot, you know, at these kinds of things that people donate a brick. You see a lot of them on like,
get engraved. You just like, at a university, or like sometimes they're on the ground and they have donated by this person or whatever.
Yeah, they have some at Fenway Park now on the floor, you know, of the concourse. It's pretty cool. There's one
that's
of
where
them.
I bought yours.
Oh, thank you. That's nice.
But it says, friend or lesbian.
I'll take it.
Matt Durson, friend or lesbian. Yeah. See, I was nice about it.
That is nice. It's better than the one Larry gets. Larry gets one. It's signed Hobie Turner, who was Rob Riggle from last episode, and it says Larry David is disrespectful to women. Disrespect. I mean, it's not a good thing to say to someone, but it's very specific, I guess. It's funny. So Larry is obviously mad at this, and he walks over to there's a rabbi, and he says, "Hey, what's up with the?" And "What's up with the brick?" You know, it says that I'm disrespecting women. And you allow that? He says, well, we allow everything except hate speech. He said, what do you call that? He says, I call it
strong dislike.
Strong dislike. That's right. I call it strong dislike speech.
And he's like, we do not edit the bricks, Larry.
Yes. And he says, this is a shanda, which is a shame. It's a Hebrew word, or a Yiddish word for shame or disgrace.
But that was one I did know. I didn't have to look
it up. Oh, very good. I had to look it up. I had to look up all these. I'm not really very good. Well, you know,
I hear him in context of, like, from other times on Curb or other things that I've watched before, and I have looked it up. Like, even with a half Jewish person in my house, it's not like she's dropping Yiddish on me.
No, I know. Mine isn't either, but I just look it up because I want to get it right. I'm going to make sure I get it right. So, you know who knows? Sienna Miller.
The Baroness.
She is at this party. Yes, the Baroness. Because she's converting. So she comes over to Larry and she's chatting him up. I notice he gives her a big hug. He has no problem hugging her. He doesn't want to hug Cyrus, but he hugs Sienna Miller.
This is a full-on flirt session. You know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, can I ask why? And she's like, well, I like the whole thing. And I also, I like the men. And he's like, really? And she makes sort of a reference to circumcision, you know, kind of. She makes like a funny, like a funny noise.
Like a snip. Pop.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't even make the noises she was making.
I can't
even
do it. Yeah.
She's like, get it out of there. It's like, I can't stand the alternative.
Yeah, that's what she said. So she wants to, she's asking about the wall of bricks, and Larry kind of leads her away. He's like, oh, it's a tennis tournament or whatever. Like he's
Yeah, and The acting here too is like sometimes I say like it's almost like Three Stooges, very broad comedy on this show, like that you don't expect out of nowhere. He's like, no, 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 come over here. He like steers, grabs her, like turns her around, and then he tells her that, oh, that's for the tennis tournament, and oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, you know? She's like, oh, that's great. You have a tennis tournament? Maybe we can do doubles. She's like totally into it. I mean, like it's great. She's very funny. But anyway, so she's like, hey, I want to ask you, I'm having a dinner party. And she's like, I'd love it if you could be there. And meanwhile, he's looking over her shoulder and he's watching Irma eat like some hors d'oeuvres. And she's like throwing it, you know, like spitting it out into the napkin. And it's so gross.
He's like totally disgusted. Like she is the best.
I know. She goes like, what? Like, she's like, what? And like.
Remember her bubble?
Yeah.
I got a bubble.
I got a bubble. So she's like, what do you say? And he's like, I can't. I mean, he could have, right? Or is he just, does he know what's, he knows what's going on?
I was thinking about this too. Like,
okay,
how could you know, you get into Larry's shoes and like, he can't go out to dinner. He would have to like elaborately come up with a lie about going out with the boys or something.
Right.
And she lives with him. You know what I mean? It's not that easy for him. And he knows that this actually would be kind of a date, or he would have to bring Irma, which would really ruin everything.
No, that's out of the question. I don't know. So I mean, that would have been a different show, I guess. We'll just have to say it like that. Like, but yeah, I guess he just felt like it would have been too hard. So poor Larry. So he says he can't. So they'll run into each other again, she says. So the next scene, Funkhauser is dropping Jenna off at work. He's driving down one of those outdoor malls, or I guess it's called the Americana. I don't know. It must be in Glendale or out there somewhere. And she's like, okay, I'm actually late, so can you just drop me off here? And he's like, oh, I can take you right to the door. And she's like, oh, no, I work right here. He's like, and he looks in this, they're right outside the Disney store.
Yeah.
Oh, so you work above the Disney store? You have like an office up there? She's like, no, I work here.
And he's like, accounting, or you manage several stores, or?
It's just, oh, no, I don't have a mind for that. I'm a greeter. And he's like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm a greeter at the Disney store. And he says, you know what would be the important, you know what the important part with that would be? The store part. Like,
yes.
So, like, yeah, she is a greeter at the Disney store.
And she goes into all the characters that she does, like Elsa and Snow White, and she does all the voices for them, Lilo and Stitch and all this stuff.
And then she says, goes, her favorite. And
Mickey's favorite.
Yeah.
Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse. And like she does the voice when she kisses him, and he's like, oh, don't waste it on me. He's obviously very not cool with this, because he thought he was going out with this executive for Disney, and she's a greeter. I mean, now granted, he does match, you know, he makes mattresses or sells mattresses, so I don't know.
But yeah, but he thinks he's dating, you know, he's in Hollywood. He's a Hollywood guy. He wants to like be dating the somebody that works at Disney.
And she never once, you know, ever indicated otherwise, I guess. I mean, she seemed like she wanted him to believe that she was more important. I don't know. Do you ever like she never indicated, oh no, I'm just a greeter. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a crappy.
Well, we'll get there, but I don't think Freddie asked enough questions.
I guess you're right. Yeah. Okay. So the next scene, he's telling Larry this whole thing, and he's like, yeah, you didn't ask enough questions. And now he feels bad. Larry says, oh, it's a status thing. You thought you were, you know, dating somebody important. And so, you know, he's not sure what he should do. He's like, it's the same person, the same personality.
And Larry says, well, he would instantly break up with her.
Yeah, I'm too shallow.
Yeah. Then he's also like, oh, my God, I can't believe I gave her a script to read. And he's like, oh, you're going to listen to her notes? It's like, I'm not going to listen to notes from Minnie Mouse. And then they cut to them meeting. She's meeting with this
Jenna
woman, Dana.
The daughter, Dana.
Yeah, Dana. Yeah, our meeting. And they're talking about the script. And they're having coffee and all that stuff. And she's like, oh, so.
Like
and
a like, very, it's like, typical Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood trope. Right. They put it in a lot of movies too, just like they put in a lot of AA meetings. It's like reviewing your script. I like this. I don't like that. You know, like I think you have a really good script here. And Dana's getting all excited. And you know who Dana is played by? She's the one that took over as the lead on the new Night Court reboot.
Yes, Ashley Padilla. Padilla. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that, but yeah, she's pretty funny.
Because I recognized her, and I was like, wait a minute, where do we know her from? I had to look her up.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, when she puts the script in her bag, it's a Minnie Mouse bag. And she says, oh, and we're getting new Little Mermaid, like, sleepwear or something. Like, and if you send me your sizes, I can get a discount for you. And, like, you wouldn't think that that's kind of weird. But
Dana like looks a little like kind of confused, but is like kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm sure you can get a discount or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
She's just kind of okay, like, okay.
She's just kind of overwhelmed.
That little bit of information on its own isn't really that
it's
crazy.
Not.
Even the bag is kind of like, oh, this person really likes Disney so much that she has a bag, but a big executive would have like a Gucci bag probably or something,
probably,
you know?
Yeah. But you don't know, you know what I mean? If you're not in the business, like if it were me, even if somebody that who I thought worked for Disney was reading my script and giving me notes, I'd be so happy I wouldn't even notice that shit. You know, I'd just be like, wow, this is crazy. I have like an in now. So
yeah.
But anyway, so they go back to Funkhauser and Larry talking about it. And then Larry's making like a smoothie. And he's like, you want some of this? He's like, did you wash your hands? He's like, no. He's like, yeah, because you thought it was for yourself. And you're doing all this touching your face like a third base coach. No, I don't want to.
That was a really funny line.
Yeah, the third base coach line. So I forgot to mention this earlier, but when they were out at lunch, Leon mentioned that he liked Funkhauser's suede jacket. He's wearing like pretty cool suede jacket.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Leon walks in and Funkhauser says, hey, you know what? Here, I got something for you. And he gives him the jacket. And then he leaves. He says, I gotta go see Minnie Mouse. And he leaves. And Larry's like, I can't believe he gave you that jacket. And he says, you know what? It's the I like it gambit. If you say you like something, you would just, he's, you know, just give it to you. And Larry's like, yeah, there's like a 50% chance that they'll give it to you.
Really. He's funny. Like, that's brilliant. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. So then, like, Leon starts talking. He wants to get, like, a do-rag or something to go with it. And then Larry turns on the blender. Just right in the middle of his sentence. Like, he's done.
Yeah, Leon's like, he's trying to have a conversation with Larry over the blender, and Leon just storms off. He's like, fuck you, Larry.
Fuck you, Larry. All right, so we get this is the Cheryl scene. We talked about Cheryl and Ted. He goes to Cheryl's and Ted's house, and he's telling them about the brick, and he wants her to buy a brick that says something nice about him. It says he loves women. And she's like, he wants to refute the mean one. And she's like, nah, I don't really want to do that. He's like, why? And she says, it feels bullshitty, which I thought was a funny word.
Yeah.
And then Ted comes down and he's like, oh, well, we already bought a brick, which is totally a lie, right? I mean, of course they didn't, because he's like, what does it say? And he says, nothing. We didn't feel the need to say anything. And she's like, it should be anonymous. And he's like, that's not true. So he's like, I'll buy the brick. Just put your name on it. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, and then I like he's it. Like, well, Larry's like, you didn't even know what the brick was until I explained it to you. He's like, no, yeah, we already bought one. We already bought one.
I forgot to I say it. Yeah. Or something like they're totally lying and they just want him out of there. And he's like, when are you going to leave, Larry?
Yeah, I really need to learn these lines or whatever. Yeah, yeah, Ted like, really hates I'll him leave. This season.
Yeah. But it's funny.
More than usual.
But I love Ted has a pen and Larry says, hey, that's a great pen. And he's like, oh, you want it? It's the I like it gambit that we just that just worked.
Yeah, he tested it out.
Yeah, and it gives him the pen.
I wonder if he was trying to do that with the furniture too, because he was like, what do you call this? What is this material this chair is made out of? He's like cotton.
Yeah. It's like is it cotton?
Yeah, well, but, what are you doing here, Larry?
But here's a funny thing. So, like, yeah, he tells him, take the pen. I don't know if you remember. This is another Seinfeld. Way, way back, there was a guy that was a friend of Jerry's dad who had an astronaut pen, you know, the one that they write upside down.
Oh, I had one of those when I was a kid, for sure.
Oh, of course, because you wanted to be an astronaut. And yeah. Jerry saw the guy using it, and he's like, oh, that's the – he's like, sometimes I write in bed, and I have to, like, lean on my, you know, arm to get the pen to work. And the guy says, oh, take the pen. And Jerry's like, no, I can't. He's like, take it. So he takes it, and then the guy got all mad, you know. So it was like a whole thing. But just the idea of the, take the pen brought me back to that episode.
Oh, yes.
Pretty funny.
I do remember that episode.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. So anyways, now he's talking to Susie. Larry's trying to get her to buy a brick, and she's not going to buy a brick. And she's like, you never came to any of Sammy's softball games. And oh, she couldn't lift a pencil.
And Larry's giving her all these suggestions. Like, Larry David went to 2 WNBA games. And she's like, well, did you? No. And then Larry's other things are like, Larry, paid for and accompanied many women to get their abortions.
Women that he impregnated get abortion. So she's not going to do it. And then he's writing with the pen in the next scene all these things that could be on the brick. And I didn't pause it or anything. I just saw one thing he wrote was like paragon of virtue. That was the only thing I saw. Just he's a and he gets a phone call from Cyrus, and he's like, hey, those notes, they were great. And they're like, oh, yeah, really? Yeah, she's very approachable or whatever. He's talking up Jenna, how wonderful she was. And he's like, oh, I want to get her some flowers. Can you give me her address? He's like, nah, she doesn't need any of those. He's like, well, I live right near the Americana. I can just go and get her a gift card, and that's where she works, of course. So he's like, no, don't. I'll just pass it along. Meanwhile, Irma is upstairs yelling to him all this stuff, like, where's my sleep brassieres, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. And where's my...
Like, how the fuck should I know?
She said, where are my bunion splints and everything? And he can't take it anymore. And he asks, because like Cyrus is like, hey, if I can ever do anything for you, let me know. He's like, well, actually, you can do something for me. You gave me 6 months to not, you know, like change anything with Irma. Nice.
8 weeks like, ago.
We got 8 weeks left. Is there any other way you can cut that up short? And he's like, oh, I just can't recommend that. You know, I can't say that. But if she were to break up with you, then... You know, it would be her agency or whatever, you know, like, and he's like, oh, that'll never happen, which is really funny. Anyway, so now he and Lewis go to the restaurant. This is another great Lewis scene. And they go to the Chinese restaurant and he asks the guy, the same waiter, about the fish. He wants to sit at that table. And the guy says, oh, the table is reserved, but... You can sit over here. He's like, and Larry just walks over to see if the fish is there. It was a big orange fish, so he could find it pretty easily. And he still didn't see it in there, and he says, where's the fish? He says, oh, well, the fish was sick. We moved him down to a location downtown. And he says, living his best life. I love that phrase, not in like a serious way, but in an ironic way. Living your best life, you know? It's so stupid. He says,
you can go visit him downtown.
Yeah, your friend Orange Fish. And Larry's like, I can deal with it if the fish, just tell me the fish is dead.
Yeah, no, he's like t telling him like that the dog got moved to a farm upstate or whatever.
Right,
He's like, not a
basically.
little kid, you know, I could deal if the fish is dead.
Yeah. And he says, fish was stuck and it's dead. He says, no, it's sick and gone. He's like, stop dead, sick, gone. And they're just yelling at each other.
Yeah, this is like kind of a little arashimashi.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly like that. Baka. But yeah, and just like you pointed out earlier, Larry finally, he's going to just walk over his table and he says, I bring your table some water. And he's all happy.
Yeah, he's so happy right after the fight.
Yeah. So he sits down and Lewis, he says, oh, you should have seen Irma today at AA. She told a big story about like her husband, her ex-husband. And Larry's like, oh, tell me. And he's like, oh, I can't. That goes against the code. And he's like, I'll put
That's
you in my
true.
will.
What's said in there? You're not allowed to tell other people's secrets or whatever.
Sure. I mean, I get that. That makes sense. But like Larry says he'll put Lewis in his will, which they brought up in the previous episode. And he sings like a canary. And so her first husband, he left her. She left him because he was in an accident, a horrible accident. His spine was sticking out. He lost some toes, and he had to have diapers. And she said, they said, oh, it was the diapers. So
Yeah.
she started drinking, and then she finally left him. And she says, hey, she knows how horrible it is, but she would do it again. Meanwhile, they intercut. Funkhauser is having lunch with Jenna, and she's talking
No,
about
but
the Disney store.
the cap on that was that Lewis is like, so how much are you gonna leave me in the will? He's like,
All right, yes.
nothing. It was a trick. And
Yeah.
then, you know, you sang like a canary.
Yeah, he's like,
And
you talk.
I should report you today. I should report you.
You should be kicked out. I know. He's like, how much are you gonna leave me? He's like, oh, you mean I did for 3 minutes? Or whatever. But anyway, yeah, you're right. I thought this was cutting between, but you're right. This is just the next scene. But yeah, Funkhauser is listening to Jenna talk constantly about some other girl who's like, oh, she plays a Chippendale or something like that. She,
Which
she's
we call fur.
which we call
But she finally
fur.
got to be a face character, which I guess means you don't have to put like a big helmet like
Right. You
character
just
face on.
wear, yeah, you just
You
dress
share your
up
own
as a
face.
character.
And we were so
Yeah.
happy for her and she was so great.
Yeah, great with the kids. And he's just looking at her. Anyway, cut back to Christopher Mantle's office. Larry walks in and he's sleeping on the couch. And he's like, what's going on here? And he says, oh, sorry, Larry, did we have a meeting? And he says, yeah, I got kicked out because of the semen talk and all the last name talk and everything. And he's like, basically, it's your fault. And he's like, why is it my fault? And like, you're talking about semen. And he's like, what to do with semen? And he's like, and I love it. It's like, what most normal people use it to get someone pregnant and have a baby. And he's like, well, I just wipe it up and throw it away.
Yes.
But it's also like, you get the feeling like, yeah, Mantle doesn't, he's blaming Larry, but he's also kind of like, he's mad because. I think he does, like, because Larry brings this up too. He says, I think you knew, like, deep down, you knew that that's a bad name.
Yeah, you knew that I was right,
Yeah.
which is like he doesn't really like win the argument so much here, but it is kind of like Larry put the seed in Mantle's head that
Right.
really he should be the one naming the kid. Because I mean, it got so bad that he got kicked out of his house. I mean, it was bad. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? So I think he's like, they got into a fight, and just kind of like, he probably was like, yeah, maybe I do want to name the kid Mantle.
and it turns into it sounds like they're in a courtroom almost. I love it because he's like a lawyer and he's like, you're out of order, he says. And he's like, I feel like you're sloughing the blame off on me. He's like, well, I feel like you're not accepting the blame. They go back and forth. Yeah, and it sounds like a courtroom drama or something, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And he wants to sue about the brick. And he's like, yeah, no, you can't sue about that. I saw that. It's freedom of religion. You can't do that. He's like, all right, fine. He's like, what about the motion? Did you file the motion? Now, we forgot to say this earlier, but as all this other Trump stuff, one thing you read a lot about is that you have to file these motions by a certain time. And he forgot. He's like, because of all the shit you put me through, I didn't file it on time. Now you're going to trial.
He's like, but it's an easy trial. We're going to win. Right. But Larry's all pissed. Like, you forgot to file the motion?
He's like, I could go to jail for a year. I mean, all right, let's, knowing what we know about this show, there's no way he's going to win, right? I mean, come on. There's no way.
I was wondering, are there any parallels to the Seinfeld finale with this, like, jail thing, like, in this scene in particular?
I mean, not this in particular with the, like, you have to file a motion by this time. I mean, like, they had to go to trial, and yeah, like, it wasn't like a, because this is all kind of recent, because this is to mirror the Trump stuff, you know, like that part, there was a trial obviously on Seinfeld, but this was this stuff is more like, you know, like this is more like to mirror what's going on now. So
like, I mean, when you hear a guy
tell Larry this is going to happen, you know it's not going to happen, right? When he says, don't worry, we're going to win. It's an easy trial. There's no way.
Right.
I mean, there's no way it's going to happen.
There's no way. And I mean, you know, is it satisfying to know that our character, Larry David, is in real jail for a year and that's how the series ends? Like, that's going to be a bummer. But
we'll see. I mean, but I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
He
I don't see him
rich. I mean,
I know. I don't see him winning the trial. Maybe he can still just plead guilty, right?
And can he change his plea and plead guilty and not go to jail and pay the fine?
Yeah, because he keeps saying, I can still parade around like some sort of hero. Like, he kind of lets it slip out that he doesn't really want, you know what I mean? That he wishes that he could have just pled guilty. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if people are picking up on that when he says that, but he's definitely saying it.
Right. Well, when Sienna Miller asked about it, he definitely said, oh, it's hard. But we're going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like, he's like trying to put a
positive. Yeah, he really plays it up with her.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
So anyway, we'll see what happens, but it's going to try it. All right, so the next scene, Larry goes down. He gets in Funkhauser's car. They're sitting there.
Why he can't go out to dinner with Sienna Miller, right? Like, he has to, like, sneak out of his house to go sit in the car in front of his own house to talk to Freddie.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're right. You're right. It's a good point.
He's kind of like, he's really, like, any one of us, we're our own human beings in our own right. Whatever, we could do whatever
right.
we want with our lives, and we can get out for the night and whatever, but Larry would have to do some pretty clever explanations, and he knows he's probably going to get caught if he just, like, were to go to Sienna Miller's dinner party, where he knew it would get back to Irma through the temple or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I really feel like he's stuck, and he's waiting out his sentence with her.
He's not. So he's got a plan now. But at first, he sits in the car and he says, the fish is dead, by the way. And Funkhauser, Freddie says, we're like that fish. We're just trying to swim around, but we're stuck.
We're fish and stuck. Like,
my God. Yeah, we're fish. We're just like that fish. So, but Larry's got a plan based on what Lewis told him. He's got a plan. So they cut to they're both.
And can I just say this for 1 second?
Oh, please.
There's so many, like, you and I'm not talking about a specific thing, but there's so many funny scenes in Seinfeld where they're in a car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
And this is like two camera, but it's almost like a stakeout kind of scene.
Yeah,
you know, where they're like talking, they're like having like secrets, like, you know, spy secrets in the car. But I just remember that about Seinfeld too. Like, there's
scenes, great scenes,
John Voight's car and all that. You know, there's so many.
I know, and George would usually end up trying to convince a woman leaving the car on him or whatever.
Oh, yeah, there was always, like, an end of the night in the end of a date night in the car, like, cross-conversation like Freddie and Larry are having right now, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was classic. This is actually a very Seinfeld. I mean, and I mean that as a compliment, but this is a very Seinfeld like thing. Like these two guys, this is like Jerry and George hatching a scheme. You know?
Yeah, it's, totally.
It's Larry totally. And Larry and Freddie. It's perfect. So yeah, they cut to them. They're both they intercut the scenes. They're talking to their ladies. Larry says, "I have something to tell you. Very serious." And then they cut to Freddie's picking Jenna up at work. She gets in the car. He says, "I have something serious to tell you." And she puts up her Mickey, her like Minnie Mouse glove. And he says, "Put that down."
This was that was that made me laugh so hard when she's like, "Oh," and she has her Minnie Mouse gloves on. He's like, "Don't do that. Yeah, put those down."
I mean, like Vince Vaughn, I guess I don't say enough good things about him, but that was such a great moment. He was perfect.
And she's brilliant, too. I mean, like,
she is good. Joke, yeah.
The joke hit so hard. Like,
yeah.
Oh, and she brings up the thing to her face. It was so funny. It was so unexpected and funny. It was a hilarious, one of the best jokes I've seen in a while. Like a visual joke, visual gag. They don't do visual gags on this show.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. They don't. It is classic. So, anyways, they each tell them that they have Grote's disease. Do you remember Grote's disease from a previous episode?
Of course I do. And I looked it up. It's actually a real thing. It's so good.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think it's like what they just, I don't know what it is.
No, it's not like what they describe. I kind of, like most WebMD things, I start reading it and I like get a little grossed out or whatever. I'm like, I don't know. But yeah, I remember the Grote disease from early season, maybe season 3 or 4.
Nah, well, they did it in season 7, the one that I remember.
Season 7, yeah.
And Leon pretended to be like a Jewish guy who had survived Grote's disease thanks to his hat. And he said he had all these problems and whatever. Anyway, so Larry tells Irma that, it's going to be, you got to hold my penis while I pee. And he's shaking, you know, while he picks up his tea mug and everything. And all these bad things are going to happen. And the next scene is Irma packing the car. And she's like slamming. She's like putting it back. She's like, well, that's it. She's moving out. And like, she's like, I'm sorry. It's just, it's the diapers and the stints and the, like, she's... She's so good. Like
the ports and the secretions.
Yeah,
and
I heard the word hospice. It's just like, it's so good. And then Larry even uses the "I like it" gambit. She has like one of those heated scarves, and she's like, "You can have it here. It'll warm your thyroid."
It's so funny, like, because we were talking about that that muscle tenderizer, whatever that
is.
And I got that for Christmas for Stacy a couple years ago. I also got her one of those.
Really?
She has one of those. That's so, I was complaining amazing about her back.
Sure. So it works. The "I like it" gambit works.
And she puts it around his neck in like one last comforting, loving gesture. Oh, this is gonna comfort you.
Yeah.
You have to charge it. You have to plug it in.
Yeah, you have to
charge it. He's like, oh, thank you so much. Oh,
yeah, and I love it.
Get out of here. Oh, dude.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, just go.
Just go. And then he's like, toward the end of it, he's like, just go.
I know.
He's like, he's not even
almost like ruins it. Like, But then she gets in the car and she drives away and he's like, going. And then he starts singing the J.G. Wentworth song.
Yeah, and then they bring up the actual music and everything, and he's singing along to it, kind of. J.G. Wentworth, and he's like full on singing it, and his neighbors must think he's a wild. Well, maybe they can't hear him, but he's just like singing it.
Yeah, called J.G. Wentworth. It's
187 cash now. He just structured settlement.
I wonder if, like, when he got divorced in real life, that was how he reacted, or this is, who knows, but not that he was divorced, but you know. But anyway, so Irma goes to the Disney, the next time she's at the Disney store, and Jenna is out front dressed as Cinderella. She's like a spitting image. She looks exactly like
the, yeah, she's a very good character as Cinderella.
And she's putting on this like voice, this like, oh, welcome, dear. And he's, Irma says, do you have those gloves, you know, like the oven mitts that look like his hands or whatever?
And maybe that's even what Jenna was using earlier. Like, I don't know. But it's like, yeah, the oven mitt gloves, it looked like Mickey's hands. I left them at my boyfriend's house and we just broke up. And it's just the whole thing. I don't want to go back there. Oh, I don't know. Do you want me to check?
She's like, would you like me to check? Yeah, she's so like. And then she's like, oh, God, I had to leave. I felt so like. She said, my Prince Charming was also sick. It's a small world. I love all these Disney references.
All in character. Yeah. The whole time. And yeah, it's a small world. It's a small world. I caught that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. And Irma just says, yeah, he had Groat's disease. I just can't do it. And she said, oh. And like, and then she drops characters like, wait, Groat's disease? And she said, Franny had Groat's disease. It's like, Franny? And they know.
Yeah, Freddy who? Freddy Funkhauser?
Freddy She's Funkhauser? Like,
what the
Larry fuck David. Say? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Larry fucking David. So they're like talking about, oh, they're terrible. And Cyrus and his daughter walk out. They walk by and she sees Jenna there in costume. She's like, Jenna, you work at the Disney store?
Like, I work here.
Welcome. Yeah, she says like the voice again. And she's like, you know, I got kicked out of my writer's group. I took your notes. And says, well, why did you read my script? She said, well, because Larry David told me to. And then they're all pissed at Larry again. And that's, they're like, the fucking cocksucker or whatever. They're all swearing about him.
And do you remember a couple of episodes ago, I mentioned this, and I wasn't exactly on the mark, but I said that I thought that Cyrus, which he kind of is, I thought that Cyrus was going to be a major foil.
You did say that.
Larry's downfall this season. Now, it didn't come out like that Cyrus did anything toward him. It's all Larry being stupid himself, which is obviously the plot of this is better than anything I could come up with. But I did have an inkling that Cyrus was going to play a key role in fucking shit up for LD this season.
And he may not be done. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, they have to all seek revenge.
Right. I mean, the trial is coming and they may be called
they're
in.
They're going to testify against him.
They might.
You know what I mean? Like witnesses against him.
So the final scene is the wall has a few new bricks on it. One of them is from Cyrus and it says Larry David is a lying bastard. One of them is Abe Zekelman and it said he's a homewrecker. And then there's one from Irma, and it says he's a coward and a cheat. And then there's one from the rabbi. It says he's a Shonda for the Goyim. which Goyim is a non-Jew. So he's a disgrace. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't think we've seen the last of Irma, right? I mean, Irma, they're broken up. But
yeah, but these guys have... These three people are, well, it seems like Dana is mad at Jenna, but that is quickly dispensed when they all realize that who is at fault here is Larry and Freddy. Well, although the other Cyrus and Dana don't know Freddy or anything. They have nothing to do with him, but like, they're like fucking Larry David. You know?
But okay, I mean, Larry didn't know when he gave her the script that she worked at the Disney store. It's not really his fault, but you know that's what happens. That's what happens.
But when he knew the truth, he didn't tell Cyrus on the phone.
No, obviously
he went along with the ruse to protect Freddie. Yeah. And the whole thing, you know, to protect everybody.
To protect everybody. It just, it was easier, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we would do the same.
Yeah. I mean, especially since he doesn't really know Cyrus. He's not really. Yeah. Cyrus isn't anybody that he cares about, let's face it. Like, he's just a guy that he's Irma's sponsor. And he doesn't even like her, you know?
So yeah, exactly. There.
And he's a guy, not only that, he's also a guy who's preventing him from breaking up with her. So I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it all just, this is how it works for Larry. People, even when he's not really at fault, it all blows up in his face anyway. So, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, even the rabbi doesn't really have any reason to hate him, but he doesn't like him just because he said it was hate speech. I mean, I don't know. It's just great. It's just what happens. Larry gets everything blows up in his face.
Real cliffhanger. I mean, usually the episode just kind of end with a funny punchline to a joke or something. Right. You know what I mean? But this one is really like plot motivated.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no, all these people are against him. So we'll see where it goes. I'm thinking they're going to be called in character witnesses. Just like the Seinfeld finale, especially Irma. We'll definitely see Irma. We may not see Jenna. Who knows? But
and yeah. Lawyer Mocha Joe and and Cyrus and all and Sean Hayes Mantle. Like now he's got those. Not Cyrus, but now he's got like even the lawyers that are supposed to protect him have a reason to not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Dan Levy's brick said he was a homewrecker. So does that mean like they're done? You know what I mean? Are they not together anymore because of that? Like, I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Oh yeah, that's right. In my head, I thought Sean Hayes put the brick up, but no, Zekelman.
No, it was Zekelman. Yeah. So if he's a homewrecker,
because he's the Jewish guy.
Yeah, he's the Jewish. Yeah. Zekelman. We'll have to see how this all plays out. Obviously, there's how many more episodes are there? Do we even know? 5, maybe? I don't know. That was episode 5. I guess, could there be, are there 12? We don't even know how many episodes are in the whole season, but we're getting down
there.
We
can look it up.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Looks like there's 10.
Man.
12, 10. So we're halfway through.
The next one is called The Gettysburg Address.
Oh, nice. I did not watch the preview this time, although sometimes I do, or if they even had one, I don't know.
I think it was just a quick, like, one-liner. It didn't really say anything about the plot. According to IMDb, it says Larry tries to make better use of the time he spends in the bathroom. Susie starts a new business. Oh, that's what she had a big billboard on Santa Monica Boulevard, they said. And her advertising brings surprising results. Later, Larry gives acting advice to an A-list actress. Oh,
Sienna Miller, perhaps.
Maybe it is.
You know what? It's the fucking app. I'm going to be one of those old guys that complains. I was kind of like, oh, I don't usually watch the like preview of the next episode when we're doing this. Or maybe I do for Vampire Council sometimes. But the app goes and shrinks the fucking thing, the credits are over, and you have to like go up and you have to remember. Basically, I'm saying you have to remember that there's maybe a preview, but I don't think about that. It's the episode's over. We're doing a podcast. Let's watch it again. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, so right.
I watched it twice and didn't watch the preview.
I remembered it the first time. I didn't bother the second time. But it, like I said, it was a very brief clip. It just was Larry and Susie just talking about her billboard, so we'll see it soon enough next week.
You know what's interesting too is I'm sure there's NDAs. I know people have seen the whole season, you know, like Hollywood Insiders or whatever, but you know, they only go out for episode descriptions, like you just read, like another episode past this. They leave there's probably spoilers in if they were to describe the last episodes of the season. So
yeah.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to.
I don't want to know either. So. I mean, I do want to watch the. I want to try to remember for next week, and we'll see that. I want to remember to watch the fucking preview.
Well, the previews don't usually give away a lot, so it's, they do a good job.
But so. I like to laugh. There might be a good joke in there.
Yeah, I like to laugh. I like to laugh. Well, if you like to laugh, this was a good one. And if you didn't watch it, you just listened to us, well, thank you. But go watch it. It's great. And
go watch it and go watch it us on watch/listen on YouTube. If you are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. We'd appreciate that. We want to get some. We're getting some views, and thank you for listening to us wherever you get your podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and all that. Leave us a review if you like what you hear. But we could. I'm using this platform to encourage you to also subscribe to our YouTube channel.
I think that's a good idea. I will also use this platform to suggest that you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Good stuff. And also, but find us anywhere. Tell your friends.
That's right. We've been around for so long that we are literally, we're probably on podcast apps that we didn't even give permission to. That's how long we've been around.
It's probably true. So thanks for listening. And thanks to you, Clay. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. To you. We're recording tomorrow.
Enjoy your burrito time, which is the time I get to spend with my friends talking about pop culture, movies, TV shows, our favorite TV shows. I mean, we have a lot of TV shows that we could have chosen, but we have two comic book podcasts or two podcasts about things that aren't comic books or anything geeky related, which is well, I guess they are a little bit geeky. But, you know, maybe what we do in the shadows. If you like what we do in the shadows, we have a whole other podcast about that. So check that out, too, if you fans are watching TV, which we are. We always have been. We're children of the 80s.
Absolutely.
We love watching TV.
Well, thanks for listening. Godspeed.
Godspeed. And R.I.P. Richard Lewis. Godspeed.
R.I.P. See you at the club.
See you at the club.
Fish that was stuck.
Oh, fish is sad, so we changed new location. Change of scenery make much happy fish.
So, you moved the fish?
Yes, fish living best life in downtown. Very happy there.
That was so nice of you.
You can go visit your new friend, Orange Fish.
I can handle the death of the fish. Just tell me.
Fish fine. Fish thriving.
No, fish stuck.
Fish dead.
No. Fish sick, fish gone.
Stuck dead.
Sick gone.
Stuck dead.
Sick gone.
Stuck dead.
Fish not your problem anymore.
I will not forget fish.
Okay, I bring your table some water.